You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
Low tide, normally the roles are reversed, but Al, how are you? How's the Friday afternoon been so far?
Yeah, I want to make sure, am I filling in for Speck?
You are filling in for Speck. Speck, okay. Ferris Bueller'd it. He heard I was going to be sitting in for Connor, and he said, I'm not doing all that. He said, listen, okay. after last Friday when I asked him why he didn't follow me on Twitter, he said, I don't want to have anything to do with that kid anymore. I'm taking the day off. No, he's sick, but I'm playing all around. Right. But you are filling in for Speck.
Okay, well, I there are some things I should do. I'd like to start by informing everybody a little bit about Latvia. It's a northern European country, one of three Baltic states, known for its Baltic state coastline, dense forest, and the capital, Riga. I won't go any farther, but I feel Speck would have started like that.
That's pretty. You must be listening every day at 5 o'clock, because that was pretty apt. I thought it was pronounced Riga, though. Is it Riga?
Listen, once again, I'm impersonating Speck, who doesn't pronounce anything correctly.
Okay.
Also, I don't pronounce anything correctly. So I bet it is Riga, because I can't spell any. I can't. Pronunciations and me are not friends.
You have pretty incredible commitment to the Speck bit, I'll say, going as far as to, you know. We are going to talk oil in a second here, but I want to start with the Elks. Elks obviously set to go in about half an hour or so here. We've talked about it throughout the week, but I mean, like, in your mind, because I look at this game huge in regards to momentum. Like, if you win this game, all of a sudden you're 4-6 and you've won three in a row and you're going to go play Calgary in two Labor Day games where anything can happen. But if you lose, all you know, now you're 3-7 and you've just lost to the second worst team in the league, who's playing with their backup quarterback. So, I mean, do you kind of look at it the same way, that this is like winning this game, a game that's very winnable, the momentum carrying forward is maybe the biggest thing to look forward to for this team?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is a, you know, not many weeks ago we were talking about some of the players on the Elks looking at professional extinction. If you have a poor year, you're not coming back, and there's every chance no one in the league will, you'll be waved right through, and you'll be the football career might be over. So there was a lot of effort in the last several weeks, and obviously they've turned around the season. So I don't think it. I just can't see any reason why, you know, there could be a Herculean effort from a very poor, or at least a struggling Ottawa team. But I think this, the Elks are so close to saving this thing. You know, this entire season, it's like they. You know, they started off the year so poorly, and people were, once again, they were complaining about the bags and the name of the team and God knows what else. And now there's like, there's you know, Fajardo has really played well. And they've got some guys who can make plays, especially on offense. Need the defense to be a little more game-breaking. But there's good signs here. So I think this is going to be I mean, I don't think the coach, not that he wouldn't try to motivate them and not that he won't motivate them, but I don't think they need much motivation. They have done exactly what they needed to do, and that desperation has paid off. I don't see them losing any of that desperation tonight.
When you look at keys to the game, like, is there something that sticks out to you more than anything else?
Well, I've said all year, and I mean, I'm not the only one who said it, but I think the defense really has to catch up to their reputation a little bit. And I think they had better protection this time around, which is great, or last game, which is great. They need to do more of that. The Ottawa may key on the best Elks players, but I would like to see more turnovers, more aggression on the defensive side. I think that might be a key, just because you by the time you get to Calgary on Labor Day weekend, you want to have all pistons firing. I think Fajardo has got the offense going pretty well here, and so now if the defense can be if they can make some big plays tonight, I think that would be the best thing for the Edmonton Elks.
Now, I don't know if you've been following along, but Oilers Nation's been releasing their top 100 players. They're kind of trickling them down here through the dog's days of summer. I just want to touch on some of the lower guys they've had here and let you speak on them a little bit and what they meant to the Oilers and who they were. They had Mark Lamb coming in at number 100. They had, I believe it was Brian Marchment come in at 99. And then at 98, let me just pull it up here, they had Kent Nielsen. Does that seem about right for you for those three guys to come in at 199, 98?
Yeah, I think so. It's a good list based on the first three. Nielsen wasn't here long or he would have been much higher, but he did have a tremendous impact. He came here twice. He came in for the 87 Stanley Cup. And was brilliant with Glenn Anderson and Mark Messier. And then he came back maybe, oh God, guys, maybe 7 years later, right at the end of his career. It's a long time ago. Marchment was filthy. He was absolutely a filthy defenseman. You couldn't play that style anymore, but he was really good. And he was the kind of player you liked him when you were on his team. He was on your team, not so much afterward. Who was number 100? I can't remember.
Number 100 was Mark. Sorry, I'm going to have to pull it up here. Right,
Mark Lamb.
Yeah, Mark Lamb. Yeah,
yeah. He was kind of Mark Lamb was kind of like James Hamblin is now, although he was a better player. Mm-hmm. But he was like a fourth-line center glue guy. He helped the kid line along. He was important in the 1990 run to the Stanley. He ended up coaching for a long time. He may still be a coach. But he was a really good player. He was maybe overlooked in that era because of his size, but he was very bright, played a smart game, and he had great utility. Lamb was a part of the surprise 1990 Stanley Cup victory, which was anybody who watched that, it was fantastic because it was so unexpected. Gretzky was gone in 89, Calgary won, and then in 1990, everything broke right. Billy Ranford stopped everything. Craig Simpson got on a roll. It was brilliant stuff. But Lamb played a pretty significant role for a guy who would, you know, we would in modern times call a fourth liner.
Dee McCammond and Laddie Schmid came in 97 and 96. I didn't want to throw too many names at you, but speaking of the current iteration of the Oilers here, like you would ask Tyler earlier today, like who are some of the guys you're going to be watching as camp rolls and, you know, preseason, beginning of regular things like that. And he mentioned David Tomasek. Is that the name for you as well? Like, that's the guy you're – because there are a lot of young guys here, obviously. I mean, most notably Matt and Ike. But is David Tomasek the one guy who, just from a pure curiosity perspective, if you want to call it that, you're going to be keeping eyes on?
Yeah, I would list the guy that I'm most curious about as being Ike Howard. I've heard a lot about him. He's you know, the young man's going to have tremendous pressure simply because this is a team that needs him to score goals. But I like the idea of Tomasek because, you know, he's a complete unknown. We don't, you know, he could be, this sounds terrible, I don't mean it to be, but he could be back in Sweden by October 1st. Mm-hmm. It's possible. We just don't know who he is. But Stan Bowman traditionally has a pretty good eye for talent. Now, Ken Holland did this with Gaetan Haas and Joachim Nygaard, you may recall, back in 2019. He brought in a couple of guys who weren't well known to North American fans, and they both ended up playing one more than a year. I think Haas was here for 2 years. But I think that Tomasek is more skilled than that, and there's a chance he can play higher up the lineup. But I would suggest that he's a somewhat similar player and that we don't know a lot about him, and we're terribly curious, and we're about to find out. I think he's pretty skilled, but I don't know if he can catch up to the NHL pace in time.
I think I might have asked you this question last week, but it just seems to me there's so much riding on the shoulders of Ike Howard and Matt Savoy. And those are two guys who, you know, might, like, presumably won't be in the lineup for the entirety of the season. Like, do you think that's fair? Do you think that's right? Do you think that there is, like, so much of what this team needs to be at their top? Like, obviously it starts with McDavid and Dry and Bush and Nurse and High. Like, oh, I'm not, obviously those are the best players, but it just seems like these guys are brought in to play prominent top six roles, and a lot of the success is going to have to run through them, or at least factor them in. Like, do you think that's right? Do you think that's overblown? Do you think it's fair? Where do you come out on that?
Well, I think it's good that the Oilers finally infuse some youth into their roster, and I'd be more concerned for these young players if the Oilers didn't have some backup plans. So they've got Frederick and they've got Mangiapane, and obviously they have Nugent Hyman. So if I don't think both will fail. I think Savoy's played a year in the AHL and a little bit in the AHL or in the NHL, three or four games. I think he'll be I think he'll be fine. It's a matter of will he be on
if
a
you look at,
line or will be a you know
where
a third
the,
line,
the betting numbers
line.
Are. They haven't thrown for less yards.
The big he threw for almost 35 because we don't know really how quickly he could adapt or adjust to the National Hockey League. But he has the one thing that he does is the hardest thing to do, and that's score goals. So if he can make it, it would be a huge boon to this Oilers team. We'll see, but that's the guy I'm watching for sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I stare at these daily faceoff lines, and I just see him pinned up there as the top line left winger, and it just seems like it seems almost unfair to me that he's thrown into that position like at this point in his career. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I guess you're right, and we'll see. Speck had asked Gregor a little while ago about giving Trent Frederick an extended look at the third line center position. And I don't know, like, first of all, like, I know you're really high on Trent Frederick. I don't know if he's played enough center for me for that. And then the other thing is, like, all of a sudden I feel like Nuge is back in your top six, because I don't know if I trust Nuge as that third line winger. Like, where do you come out on Trent maybe getting some extended looks at center as the season progresses?
Well, I would like to have Nuge as the third line center. And the reason is because I think Frederick or Savoy will land there on the third line. Probably, I'm sorry, let me repeat. Howard or Savoy will land on the third line. So if you've got a young winger, I would like to have like a veteran center like Nuge with Ike Howard on left wing, and then maybe even right wing you'd have another veteran to bring him into the lineup. Nuge is a great mentor. He's a smart player, and I think that Mangiapane probably would play pretty well with McDavid or with Draisaitl. And I know people, they look past Podkolzin, but he's played well with Draisaitl. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if opening night Mangiapane's left wing on the McDavid line and Podkolzin is left wing on the Draisaitl line. And then Ike Howard is playing with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins on the third line. I can see that happening. You've got a button-down coach, a guy who's risk-averse in Chris Knobloch, and he might want to have a mentor like Nugent-Hopkins alongside Ike Howard in his first, say, 10 games in the NHL.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I don't know. I look at Andrew Mangiapane, and I think, like, this is a top six skill player who can score the puck, and I don't like the prospect of not playing him in my top six. Like, I just think they would essentially be nerfing him. Like, I think his best hockey, because he's not really a creator, undoubtedly is going to come with McDavid or Draisaitl. So, like, what would the rationale be behind Andrew Mangiapane not getting some of those top six looks or not being a staple of that top six? Is it just development of the young guys and feeling like they have a lot of faith that these two can become something or are something already and can really score the puck with McDavid and Dry? Like, what would the justification be?
Well, it would have to be the only way I see Mangiapane not on one of the top two lines is if Frederick really has an impact initially with McDavid or Draisaitl, or, and I think this is a longer shot, Ike Howard just comes in here and starts scoring goals with one of those two centers. If Howard forces to one of the top skill lines, they'll make room for him. Even with defensive deficiencies, if he shows an ability to scoring goals is so damn hard. Mm-hmm. And you know, checking and playing sound defense is easier. I would guess that Mangiapane gets a real clear look. Frederick is kind of in the picture on left wing. Podkolzin is a safety net for Draisaitl, and the wild card is Howard, who might end up eating everybody's lunch if he can score goals on a line with one of McDavid or Draisaitl.
Low Tide, final one for you here. Shane Bieber on the bump. That game started 5 minutes ago, I think. We got to throw it on here. What are you expecting from him? That's probably a better question.
Well, if he's healthy, he could be the best pitcher, starting pitcher on the Jays. Like, he's really, really good. But having said that, we don't know. And we have to be, you know, careful. We need to see three or four starts, which we'll see. And then you go from there. It's so difficult to come back from the injuries he's come back from. But the last time, he is a Cy Young Award winner. He's top drawer if he's healthy. But you need to make sure that he is. And I think that they made a really good trade because they didn't pay a huge amount for a guy who might be the best starting pitcher traded at the deadline. Now, he's got to go out and prove that, and we'll see. But I like the deal. I'm looking forward to watching him pitch tonight. I got the Elks on one. I got the Jays on the other. It's going to be wild times, but this is really good night for sports. And Bieber could start. I'll say he'll start. If he's healthy, he'll start game two. Gausman starts game one. He'll start game two. That's my guess.
Low Tide, really, really appreciate it. Thank you for joining us here. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday.
Okay, I'll bring you Latvia facts on Monday.
Okay, appreciate it. We'll talk about it on the lowdown. That was